morning and welcome to each of you this morning again as we continue our worship service together. As I was thinking and looking for a subject, and yesterday in my mind, I thought of the song, Poured Out Like Wine. And it's actually in the Faith and Praise in 655, and that will be our closing song today. But as I reflected on those words and as I thought about it, and I wondered how often we sing that song, how often I've sung that song, how often I've said those words, but they were just words. Did I really mean them? Do I really mean them? And so as I thought about that and reflected on that, I thought, now where am I going to go with that? Because I felt like that was from God, that this is what he wants me to use. And so anyway, he directed me to 1 Peter chapter 5. That will be our text today. And we'll read verses 6 through 11. I've titled this, The Full Commitment to Christ as Lord. And I thought since maybe there's some better titles, it might be A Recipe for Surrender, whatever you would want to put there. But as I thought about and reflected on what Dale shared last Sunday on revival, and being our meetings haven't worked out for having a speaker come, and so Dale spoke about revival, the need of revival, and things that are essential for revival. I thought, well, maybe that's what God's doing here. And I would sense this probably to be more of an evangelistic appeal kind of thing. And yet, Dale and I haven't talked about it. I didn't know what he was going to preach, and I don't think he knows what I'm going to preach, even though he might have thought I was planning to have communion with what I set up here, but I assured him I wasn't planning on that. Although I think it would have been, had we had planned this a little further, it could have been a good time. But anyway, there are three prerequisites. It's a big word. I couldn't even spell it. And so I thought I knew what it meant, and I think I did fairly well. But to explain it to someone, I probably would have faltered. So the dictionary says it's something required as a necessary condition, and I think it's beforehand. And so I would just say it's a requirement. There are three requirements, and I'm not planning to preach Dale's sermon over again either. But I wonder how many remember what those three things were. You really don't have to raise your hands, because I didn't remember either. I could sort of come up with one or so till I re-listened to the sermon, and then I got them. The first one was conviction of sin. The second one, confession of sin. The third one, forsaking sin. Those are things that are required for revival. And so what brings all this on? And as I read the words to this song, and I realize it's probably geared, at least in our book, it's in the mission section of the book. And so it's probably geared more toward missions, calling people to a decision on missions. But as I look at that, I think it is relevant for us here as well, or people everywhere. No matter what you're doing in your vocation, whether you're here at home in South Carolina or you are called to somewhere else, doesn't really matter. Wherever you are, it should be your mission field. And whatever you do is your mission. And you can be a missionary and should be a missionary regardless whether you're a plumber or a baker or a candlestick maker. Any of those. Whatever God has called you to do, you are a missionary. So would you be poured out like wine upon the altar for me? Jesus is asking that. Would you be broken like bread to feed the hungry? And I want to demonstrate that at the end. So let's read here and see what Peter has to tell us in 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. As I think of revival and these three requirements that Dale talked about, conviction of sin, confession of sin, forsaking sin. At least for those two, confession and forsaking. It takes humility to come to God. And so Peter is telling us, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. Micah 6:8, the prophet tells us, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So humility is simply lowliness. It's unpretentious. I think of people, and I love to see that in people, that you, when you're around them, you can just tell they are who they are. They're not pretending to be someone they're not, to be great, small, or otherwise. They're just who they are. And I love to be. I love to see that, and I try to do that myself. I want to be that kind of a person, but sometimes for some of us, it's just a little harder. But anyway, to not think of myself, as the Bible tells us, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. And so if I'm going to be revived, I have to look beyond myself. I have to consider that I have a need. And so it draws me to the point that I have to call out to God to help me. Because of my natural state and all of us, it is to be proud. It is to be lifted up. Well, I want to be noticed. I want to be somebody. And I want people to think that I'm somebody and I'm important. So pride exalts as humility lowers oneself. Pride lifts a person up. In Luke 14:11, Jesus talked about whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And he goes on to say in that portion that if you go up and you sit in a high place somewhere, an important place where people see you and you think you're really somebody, but then somebody else comes in that's more important and they come and ask you to sit back down there in a corner, you know, that wouldn't make you feel very good. That would deflate your balloon pretty quickly. It might not make you humble, but it should help at least. So, another place that he talks about is in Mark 7, 21 through 23. Again, Jesus talking. And I need to turn to that. Mark 7, 21 through 23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. And so, Pride is something that defiles us from within. It destroys us. And it's something that God can't stand. Pride cannot be in the presence of God. Because that's what happened when Satan, Lucifer, was cast out of heaven. He lifted himself up. He was going to be like God. But it didn't work. He couldn't do that. And so he was cast out. And so we are dealing with him today. I've been dealing with him this morning. I believe, and I ask God to calm, because I've been nervous. This is not my usual thing, usual way of doing a sermon. And so I was very apprehensive. I was even feeling physical side effects, and I asked God to take those away, and he has. And so I know that there is an evil force that is against everything that God wants to do. And so if we try to promote God's way, then there is opposition, and we will face that. We face that in all our lives, in even the things that in physical diseases and struggles, whether it's health-wise or financial or relational, whatever it is, it's Satan is behind that, trying to destroy and to kill, to get in the last punch, and to try to be the one to discredit God. And that's really what he's trying to do. But Peter's telling us here, the first thing is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. You know, these folks, and I thought about some of these folks that have suffered physical pain and so on and have passed on. Now they are free from that. They have won the battle. They have conquered. And God has exalted them. He has given them peace if they're Christians. So he goes on to tell us, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God is a very caring God. He tells us not to be anxious for anything. And actually, our verse up there goes along with this very well. And that was a reference that actually I had seen, I hadn't written down. And so, again, he wants to take care of us. He is a loving God, and he will do that. He gives us divine care. And I don't believe that God sits back and smiles when we suffer. I think it pains him just like it does us. But at the same time, he knows the end result, and he allows it to happen. Let's go on. It says, to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. When I read that, the picture comes to me. I've seen a movie or a documentary, something on the wild, the animals in the wild. And I see these lions, these big cats, going through the grass. And there's a herd of, sometimes it's zebras, sometimes some kind of deer or something, that are congregating at a water hole to get water. And they know where they can go to corner them. And so they're looking for a meal. And so they creep along and they crouch and they sneak up and try to always, and the animals are always aware that they're there. And they're very nervous and they try to protect each other and they run, but there's always a straggler that somehow gets caught behind. And I always, in myself, I think, please, come on, get going. Get up there with the rest. Don't get caught. But the lion somehow or other gets up there and he snatches that straggler. And sometimes he wins and sometimes he doesn't. And when he loses and the animal gets away, I say, wow, hallelujah, good. But you know, the lion didn't get a meal. So who should you feel sorry for? But I think of Satan doing that. He comes in, and as Dale mentioned last Sunday, that Satan comes right in and he sits among in the pews with the people. And I believe he does that. I believe there are tares that are in with the wheat. Unfortunately, that that happens. And so sometimes he comes as an angel of light. He's sneaky. I think when he comes that way, he would be an angel of light. He is there. He's okay with what's going on. He actually even helps with it. He promotes it as long as it doesn't go too far, as long as it doesn't get too spiritual. And so when he does that, it's a little harder to detect. He misrepresents the truth. And so again, if you don't know the truth, you'll be in trouble. And we see that happening around, abroad, across the Christian church as a whole. It's happening. And folks, I think the cry for us today is to be aware, to be alert. As Peter says, be vigilant, be sober. There's no time for drunkenness. There's no time for being in a state of not clear thinking. Be vigilant, be watching. Just as all those animals, as when the lions are chasing them, they're watching. They know where they are, but they're limited to what they can do. It calls him our adversary, the devil. And then at the last, that lion jumps and he roars. You know, sometimes Satan does do that. He makes a lot of noise. He makes a lot of commotion. Makes a lot of disturbance. And sometimes he has that way of attracting people away because it looks so good. It seems so right. It seems so spiritual. But it's a lot of noise. So we have to be very careful. We have to be on our guard. Seeking, he wants to destroy you. Remember, Satan is never your friend. The lion will always be a lion. The lion could sidle up to the zebras and say, I won't hurt you. I'll just be one of you. But you know what? A lion is a lion at heart. He will always be a lion, and a lion will do what he does. He will kill to eat. And that's what Satan does as well. Don't believe his lies. Because that's what he is, and that's what he'll always do. Peter goes on to tell us, whom resists steadfast in the faith. Again, we have to be strong. We have to know what we believe and who we believe. And know that God is the God of all, the God of the universe, the God of creation. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. So we can resist him. Obviously, there is things we can do. We don't have to just lay down like humble little irresponsible people, but we have to do what we can to resist him. And we need to ask God's presence constantly in our lives, his Spirit to direct us, to open our eyes so we can see that the eyes of our spiritual understanding would be open to understand what's going on. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. There are many places in the world today that are experiencing suffering. And he talks about that in the next verse. Suffering tremendously. There are people that are suffering in our country as well. For spiritual, the name of the sake of Jesus Christ. But there's other suffering too. I think of those, I've just read recently an article, and I think maybe CEM in their newsletter, it showed these blind people in Liberia, I believe it was. And they can't go about to find a job if there was any job. Things are really tough over there. And so they have to beg. They're forced to beg every day. And maybe they'll get a dollar a day. And so you constantly, that's their livelihood, is begging. And how difficult that would be. That's a form of suffering. I believe it is. There are many ways that people suffer. When you have a loved one that suffers physically and then dies, there's a form of a sense of suffering that goes along with that as well, with the grieving. I think we all suffer in some ways or other. If we haven't, we will. The Bible promises us, if we're going to be Christians, if we're really going to stand up for Jesus, we're going to suffer. So don't be surprised. But he says, when the devil comes as a lion, resist him. Stand strong. Don't give him and don't go with him. But the God of all grace, I love that, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. You know, it's only a short time. It's not, it may seem like it's a long time, but it's only a short time, really. And then it will be over. And this suffering is going to do something for you. It's going to make you perfect. It's going to establish. It's going to strengthen. It's going to settle you. This rain that we had yesterday and last night, it's going to do something. It's doing something even now to the things that are planted, to the grass, the seedlings in the garden, the crops. Those roots were starving for moisture. And I'm sure those roots and probably the corn has grown considerable overnight as it got that moisture. What did it do? Those roots go down to get that, and they become rooted. They become strong. That stalk will be able to stand a storm and won't be blown over. That's you and I as well. As we read and as we consecrate our lives to God daily, it's not a one-time thing. It's not a repentance one time and it's all over. It's not, I need revival today and then I'm good to go. No, I'm going to need it tomorrow too. I'm going to need it next week. I'm going to need it next month. I need to be revived constantly because I forget, like Tyler was saying this morning, our forgetter is so good, and it doesn't get better. Right, Jonas? At least, I'm not near his age. And yesterday, this song came to my mind. And a few minutes later, or maybe 15 minutes later, I was thinking of something else, and then all of a sudden I thought, oh, what was that I thought of? I thought, man, why didn't I write it down? Now I can't. Now I don't even know what I'm talking about or thinking about. Yeah, God brought it back pretty soon, and so I quick got a paper and I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. But we have to do that. We forget. We forget the goodness of God so quickly, just as the children of Israel did. We forget what God has done for us. So we have to be reminded constantly. And to sing this song as we sing Poured Out Like Wine is a good way of remembering, reminding, you know, that I am, that you know, the Christian life is more serious sometimes, I think, than we want it to be. And then sometimes I think we make it a little more serious at times than it ought to be. And so we have to decide. But I like what the Amplified in some of these verses, I brought it along, and sometimes I don't even use it, so I wonder why I did that. But I do want to read a few of the verses here out of the Amplified, verse 8 through 11. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely, and strengthen and settle you. To him be dominion, power, authority, rule forever and ever. As you think of being poured out like wine upon the altar, or broken like bread to feed the hungry. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to mean that? It may mean something that you're not even aware of. It may mean something that you really don't want to do. Maybe there's someone here that's arguing with God even now. That God is trying and sensing you to do something, to go here, to go there, to be this, to be that. And within you, you're saying, no, you don't want to do that. Not now. Now's not the time. But unless you become like this wine and this bread, you won't be happy. You won't have peace. And you won't be able to be fulfilled or useful in the kingdom of God because you're not sure where you're at. And where you're at, you're not comfortable because God is trying to get you to a place that is where He knows you will blossom and prosper better. I know that there are things, and sometimes it can be somewhat scary, maybe, fearful, to make a commitment because of what God might ask of you. You know, some of you men, there's someone here that's going to be one of our future leaders. I'm convinced of that. We need that. He may be asking someone to go off to a far land to be a missionary. You're saying, no, not me. Maybe asking you to be a school teacher. And you say, no, not really. Thank you for the school teachers we have. Thank you, Kylie, for doing that. Maybe he's asking you something, I don't know. Maybe there's something you're facing physically that you struggle with. God is asking you to just suffer a while. Remember, He's not casting you out. But it says to cast that on Him and He will carry it. He will help you. He will encourage you. He will strengthen you. So this morning, and whatever it is, my prayer is that you would allow God to do what He wants to do, His perfect will, and it won't be wrong. I simply do this to simply illustrate. Would you be poured out like wine upon an altar? You know, if I'd have done my homework a little better, I would have found a cup that looked like a worm. And I poured it into a glass that's got butterflies. There is a change, or something happens when I am willing to be poured out like this for God's purpose. I can't be the same. When the bread is broken and simply this bread has no power of its own, and as I break it, and as God breaks me, as this bread. What I'm saying is, in humility, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, to be whatever you want me to be. There's a change that takes place. When I am revived, I can't remain the same. But something happens. When the presence of God is real in my life, then I am a different person. My interests change. My ambitions change. My goals change. Yeah, some of them can be the same. Our goals and ambitions aren't all wrong. But again, God is first in our lives. And God, there's no telling what God can do if I'm willing to be broken and to be poured out in whatever fashion that he would choose. So this morning, as we sing, I think we know it quite well by heart. I'm just going to invite anyone that wants to come forward and to make another commitment to God that you are willing to be poured out like wine, to be broken like that bread, for the kingdom of God's sake, not for our own goals or purposes, but for the kingdom of God. And as Peter ends there in verse 11, it's for the glory of God, who reigns forever and ever and ever. So, as we sing, if you want to, if you feel led to, you can come forward, and then we'll pray. Shall we sing? And I'm sure that's the prayer of each one of us, that we would, to be that kind of a person, to allow God to use us for His glory. Let's pray. Father, again, we're grateful this morning for who You are and for Your love and care for us. Thank You, God, again, for providing Your Son Jesus as our Savior. Thank You that He stands with us, that He doesn't leave us or forsake us, but He's there with us all the time. Thank You for the power of Your Spirit that infills us and directs us and leads us in a way of truth. And so I pray a blessing on each one of these folks that responded this morning and those that didn't. I pray that You would help us, God, that we would be serious and that we would be, that we would mean that the words that we sang, that we would be willing to be used of You. So guide us. Direct us, help us to be faithful to You. We give You glory, honor, and praise because You are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.